here, and we, if you missed the first hour, you can listen to Better Lawns and Gardens on iHeartRadio or everywhere where you listen to podcasts. And so we are going to be seeing, let's see, John Denver. And the dirty word of the day is taproot. Taproot is a large, central, and dominant root from which other roots sprout laterally, which means sideways. Typically, a taproot is somewhat straight and very thick, is tapering in shape, and grows directly downward. In some plants, such as the carrot, the taproot is a storage organ so well developed that it has been cultivated as a vegetable. The taproot contrasts with adventitious or fibrous root systems of plants with many branched roots, but many plants that grow a taproot during germination go on to develop branching and structures, although some that rely on the main root for storage may retain the dominant root taproot for centuries. Now, taproot is three different types. The conical root, this type of root tuber is conical in shape, it's widest at the top, and tapering towards the bottom, just like a carrot. Fusiform root, this root is widest in the middle and tapers toward the top and the bottom, just like a radish. And napiform roots has a top-like appearance, very broad at the top, and tapers suddenly like a tail at the bottom, just like a turnip. Many taproots are modified into storage organs, and here are some varieties of plants with taproots. Beetroot, burdock, carrot, sugar beet, dandelion, parsley, and parsnip, poppy mallow and radishes, sagebrush and turnips, the common milkweed, and then mango trees and papayas. The taproot develops to form from the seed, forming the primary root. Now, a typically mature tree, just like an oak, has a root system that doesn't have a taproot. Most of the main trees do not have a taproot. They may start off with a small one, but as they grow larger, they will grow extended and branching out underneath the ground in the first 20 inches of the soil. A oak tree's roots can extend out 300 feet, and so there is no such thing as a taproot. So while soil characteristics strongly influence the architecture of taproots, for example, deep and rich soils favor the development of vertical taproots. Clay soils promote the growth of multiple taproots. So the dirty word of the day is taproot. And so you can use that by talking about your vegetables. You can use it in a conversation with your vegetables. And also, too, when you are talking about the root system of trees with the taproot, you want to go out, extend it out beyond the canopy. The tree roots do not end at the end of a canopy or the end of the shrub leaves.
Okay. All right.
So you want to make sure that you dig a big enough root ball and not necessarily looking for a taproot. Right now, hopefully you've got your peppers and tomatoes and eggplants started. And then also, too, it's time to go ahead and give your power equipment a spring cleaning before the summer with all the mowing we have to do. Clean your birdhouses and bird baths and water fountains. And this is also the time to clean your water gardens and repot your water lilies. For citrus, you can apply a minor nutrient spray right now at each flush of new growth. This is where, again, walking your yards on a weekly basis really helps. When you see new leaves growing on your citrus trees, you want to apply a minor nutrient spray and then also an insecticide that will control the Asian psyllids, which spread the citrus greening. All right, it's very important to do that. You want your citrus trees to be nice and healthy. Fertilize your vegetables lightly every 2 to 3 weeks using a slow-release fertilizer. You can also add black cow to the side dressings of them. And then also, if you'd like sweet potatoes this summer and fall, go ahead and you can plant sprouts. We've got onions. We're planting onions right now.
Mine are so huge right now. The
onions, the green leaves.
It's crazy how big they are.
Now, what do you use onions in?
Breathing.
I eat onions with everything.
I love onions. Yes.
I do too, as well. Yeah. So we have Jim Putnam coming on. He is a tremendous garden expert. He has his own YouTube channel. We'll be talking about that. He's going to be talking to us about the update on butterflies. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. To Better Lawns and Gardens. Jim Putnam has been in the industry, garden industry, for over 30 years. Everything from owning a garden center, designing landscapes, nursery production, and installation. And now he is host of HortTube, a YouTube gardening channel dedicated to demystifying gardening for the do-it-yourselfer. Good morning, Jim. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm doing great. I got a beautiful morning up here in Raleigh, North Carolina.
How cold is it?
It's about 45 degrees, something like that this morning. So nice and crispy, but clear skies.
Yeah, just like us here. Wow, that's wonderful. I wanted to ask and see if you had an update. Were you affected last year by the flooding at all in North Carolina where you are?
No, we're in Raleigh, which is kind of centered in the state. It really went up just through a narrow spot up in the mountains. I love that Lake Lure area that got pretty wrecked up there. It's one of my favorite places. If people have never been there, they could probably use some tourism dollars over the next few years to rebuild everything. But it's one of the most beautiful places in America.
That's a great, great idea. I was born in North Carolina, so I do love it myself as well. So tell us about your popular HortTube channel. What aspects of gardening do you feature?
Pretty much anything to do with homeowners' gardens, and so it's a definite focus on ornamental horticulture, and then design with plants, and then vegetable gardening, annuals, perennials, starting seed. Pretty much anything that a home gardener would need. That's kind of my like you said, I started in this business when I was 16, and
oh my goodness,
here we are.
There you go. Well, I do appreciate it. That's a lot of experience when you have that kind of knowledge. You know, you just absorb it as you go through those different areas of gardening. So spring
that's
has arrived.
Amazing, yeah.
Yeah, spring has arrived. You have a passion for promoting plants that help support butterflies and pollinators. So what's the latest news on the butterfly population?
Well, I saw a report that the monarch population was, I guess they do that count down in Mexico, and it was double what it, year over year. But I have a feeling, worldwide butterfly populations and pollinators in general, and all insects, unfortunately, which are the basis of everything, food wise, are in decline. On a worldwide basis.
It is. Their habitat's being destroyed, and I think people just use too many chemicals to begin with on top of that.
Yeah, you have that combo. And one thing I'd like to point out is, we like to eat, and so we're not going to rewild our farms. And so our home gardens are an opportunity for us to, to kind of replace what were open spaces, pre-farming. Those open spaces, we can use our home gardens, as a tool.
I would like to see that happening. And, I'm concerned about the areas because we're growing by leaps and bounds, especially here in Florida. And I know North Carolina is too, these HOAs that don't allow for much diversity in their front yard. So what can homeowners do to help support butterflies and pollinators? What do you suggest?
Yeah, well, there's lots of plants, obviously, that we can, that we can use. And I think people think flowers first, and obviously, when we're thinking about our garden. So, in those front lawn in those front areas where the HOAs require a little more formal planting. There are a lot of the Southern Living Plant Collection has a ton of things that are, you know, kind of formal looking, but still have, you know, will pass the HOA test, but also allow, you know, pollinators, things like Radiance Abelia is one of my favorite little go-to shrubs that blooms all summer. There's a Little Lucky Lantana series, really formal looking lantana that, you know, fantastic for pollinators. And then that Butterfly Candy Butterfly Bush series is a dwarf butterfly bushes that will look neat but draw in lots of butterflies during the season. And then you need this combo with some native milkweed and fennel and Queen's Anne's lace and some other things that you might plant in the back garden that are the host plants for these, you know, so you draw them in with the flowers and then you need a host plant for the caterpillar. That combo is what we need.
That is true. Now, I love butterfly candy. The buddleias are just beautiful. Yes. They're just a nice size. They don't spread. They're not invasive, and they're wonderful. And also, too, Abelia. People aren't familiar as much. It's not as available as much here in Florida as I would like to see it. So describe what Abelia is.
Abelia is a shrub that pretty much, it's kind of strange because most of our flowering shrubs we think of as spring flowering. Abelia actually is a summer flowering shrub, and there's dwarf versions of it that, like Radiance that I just mentioned, or Miss Lemon, that are variegated and stay very tidy and compact. And then there's larger growing Abelia that can get 6 and 8 feet tall that can be used as screening plants. But they literally start blooming mid-May and don't stop until fall, and give an opportunity for all kinds of our native bumblebees. Absolutely love them. And then, of course, you get butterflies as well.
They are very pretty, and I love to use them. So as a landscape designer myself, I absolutely love the Southern Living Plant Collection. So many diverse plants. So how many different varieties would you suggest somebody have in their yard to really support a good population of butterflies?
Well, I mean, I'm on a very small lot in Raleigh, North Carolina, and I have 300 species in this garden. So,
goodness.
That's probably more... Yeah, that's probably more than most people are going to have. So, but I do think that there's, you know, the more species you have in your garden, I think the more places for pollinators to visit, the more things for pollinators to visit, the more plants, opportunities for birds to visit, and so many other things. And then you tend to have a healthier, anything that has more diversity species within it is going to be a healthier garden overall.
So now, butterflies like mud and puddling. How do you suggest somebody do that in their landscape with flowers and, you know, with a front yard, especially in an HOA? How would you suggest that they create a little habitat where they can get moisture and nutrients from the soil?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. You could definitely bury some sort of bird bath in the ground just a little bit, and put some soil in it so you can, you know, you can trap a little bit of water without ending up, of course, with a mosquito, mm-hmm. you know, mosquito population as mm-hmm. a result of it. But something you can keep in the ground that will keep some moisture in place and throw some of your native soil, you know, in that. And we, in our bird bath, have rocks, little gravel in there so the bees and the butterflies can actually land in there. If your water's too deep and your bird bath, we think about just birds going to our bird baths, but our native bees need that water, the butterflies need that water, so give them some spot in there where they can stand on a little bit of gravel and get a drink.
That's interesting you say the bees, because on my bird bath, I was just walking around the yard, and I noticed that it was crawling down the side of the bird bath. And so, you know, bees do use that for water. So that's a great, great point. And so where can people find Southern Living Plant Collections?
Well, definitely most of the garden centers, and then Home Depot, Lowe's. But you can go to southernlivingplants.com, and there's a Find a Retailer page on there where you can find most of the Southeast United States is going to be, you know, most of the growers in Southeast are growing the plants from the collection and have access to them. So sometimes it's a matter of going in and just asking the question, because they may not have gotten, you know, they may not have been asked for them before, and, you know, it may open a door for them to find you know, business opportunity as well.
I certainly agree. Just ask for it, and they know that you want it, and you're going to be out there looking for it. So that's a good point. So yeah. Tell us a little bit about Hort Tube, and where can people find your Hort Tube channel?
Yeah, so I've got a website called horttube.com, and then if you just go to YouTube and search for Jim Putnam or Hort Tube, I have about 1,800 videos at this point. I have covered just about everything you can think of with ornamental horticulture. The video that went up today is 20 ground covers for shady conditions. Most of them are for the southeast, so if you need a ground cover in the shade, there's a video for you this morning.
That's great. I will post a link to it on Better Lawns and Gardens. That'll be wonderful.
Oh, thank you so much.
And so pollinators are very important. The Southern Living Plant Collection is a great way to get some resources for the butterflies. So I do appreciate you coming on. Again, tell everybody where they can get your Hort Tube channel and Southern Living Plant Collection.
Yeah, the Southern Living Plant Collection, you can just go to southernlivingplants.com, or pretty much any Home Depot or Lowe's or local garden center is probably going to carry them. And again, my name is Jim Putnam, and I have a YouTube channel called Hort Tube, which is available on YouTube.
That's great, Jim. Thank you so much. Next time I'm in North Carolina, I'm going to stop by and see. I want to count all 300 of those plants in your yard.
Yes, well, and it's expanding too. I'm actually creating a native garden next to it, and I have an open garden on June 20th and 21st, and we have people from all over the country visit our garden every year, so you're welcome as well.
Oh, thank you. That's a great idea. I would love to do that. Thank you so much, Jim, for calling this morning.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. He's just so full of energy. I love
him. Oh, yes.
And I will tell you, I use plants from the Southern Living Plant Collection all the time in my designs, my landscape designs and installations. And it's an easy way, you know, to find plants, and it just got a great diversity.
And it sounds like you could just take your own little vacation right there at, you know, his facility. So definitely, yeah, definitely.
I'm going to find out a little bit more about that. Said for Tony, though, I mean, we're going to do that. So we have Rodney Tilley, the dynamic duo with Gracie Overstreet, with the Toho Water Authority. They're going to be coming up next. But I wanted to just go over and just remind everybody about Art and Bloom Garden Tours. And I will tell you, hold on just a second. Let me just give you some of the dates and things like that. So we have the Newport Flower Show. The Newport Flower Show is June 19th through June 23rd. Newport is the summer equivalent of Downton Abbey. This is where Cora Levinson's mom, Martha Levinson, would go and in the summertime. It was just wonderful. The elegance of the Golden Age with magnificent mansions and gardens. We're going to have a great time. That's June 19th through June 23rd. The Buffalo Garden Walk with the Canadian Niagara Falls. Tremendous, I'm telling you, life-changing gardening experience. If you want to be wowed by a garden tour, the Buffalo Garden Walk is great. That's July 16th through July 21st. And then we have our Gardens of Scotland in August. And you don't want to miss that. You can go to artbloomgardentours.com. Come join me. We'll be right back with more of Better Lawns and Gardens. Saturday morning, this is where you are. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. Joining us right now is a dynamic duo with the Toho Water Authority, Rodney Tilley, who is the Water Conservation Supervisor at the Toho Water Authority based in Kissimmee. And Gracie Overstreet is the Conservation Liaison, which involves leading Toho's water conservation education and outreach programs. I'm so excited to have them on today. Good morning, Rodney and Gracie. How are you?
Awesome. Thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
Good morning, Teresa. Yes.
Good morning, Gracie. Thank you so much for coming on. So, Rodney, so for people who are outside of the Central Florida area and the St. Johns River Water Management District, tell us what the Toho Water Authority is.
So, Toho Water Authority is the largest provider of water. Wastewater and reclaimed water services in Osceola County. We also serve Kissimmee, St. Cloud, the unincorporated portions of Osceola County, as well as parts of Polk County. Toho also operates within the water management district of South Florida, which there's five water management districts in the state of Florida. Our district manages water resources, flood control, and conservation efforts, all the way from Central Florida down to the Everglades, a very large swath of area there.
Wow, that's incredible. So your area of expertise is one of my passions, water conservation. It's one way to make sure Florida has plenty of water in the future. So, Gracie, what is your primary focus as a conservation liaison? What do you do?
Yeah, you're completely right about that, Teresa. My role, like you said, is all about education and outreach for water conservation. So I get to connect with the community. I attend events. I work with the K-12 schools within our service area, as well as local organizations. And I also collaborate with HOAs and builders just to make sure that each of these groups understand why conservation matters and how they can implement it into their own lives and in their own ways.
Exactly. And I think education is very important, especially with all the new residents moving into Florida right now. So, Rodney, why does the Toho Water Authority, they focus on water conservation this time of the year in spring?
So, typically, it's kind of interesting. We used to say that, you know, the spring, that you'd always had a drought. And now anymore, talking with our CEO, we just think it's part of our natural weather cycle. It gets dry right in the spring. So we emphasize conservation in the spring because of that, because it's pretty much the driest time. And to encourage our residents to efficiently irrigate or water, we also designate April is Water Conservation Month. We also partner with Kissimmee, St. Cloud, and Osceola County to officially proclaim April is Water Conservation Month. This promotes community awareness through all the municipalities and entities involved.
I think that's so important because people, you know, they look around, they see Florida, they see so much water, and yet they don't really understand that we're really needing to conserve it and not use it. But in the springtime, it's warm. So how do you, Gracie, what's the best way to get that word out about water conservation?
Yeah, there's so many methods that I use, and one of mine that I'm really proud of is actually the new education program that we're launching in the Osceola School District. So I'm building partnerships that give me the opportunity to either go into their classrooms as a guest speaker, I attend their family events, and most importantly, of course, connect with the students. So the goal with this program is that the students will kind of take what they've learned back to their homes and inspire their families to adopt those conservation practices.
Oh, that's great. And I'm sure the kids love learning about water in their schools. I think that's important. So
yes,
Rodney,
they do.
So I'm sure they enjoy you. You sound like a lot of fun. So Rodney, what recent changes have you implemented in the Toho Efficiency Program?
So the Toho Efficiency Program, it's kind of the brother of the Florida Water Star program. However, Toho has implemented this program, and we've made quite a few revisions, and I'll just go over a few of them.
Okay.
But like the side yard irrigation zones, a lot of times those are hooked up to the front zone of a yard. So now they must be separated. Only water the side, because usually it's a narrow strip in most of your typical Florida lawns. Also, we've added that everybody must have a smart irrigation controller.
Oh.
And that smart irrigation controller can either be soil moisture sensor or weather-based. There's also another huge addition is an approved sticker on the irrigation controller box, which would show run times for winter and summer, so the customer doesn't have to go in there and mess with that automatic timer and kind of be guessing. When the plans come in, the architect, landscape designer will have what it should be running based on historical data. weather data.
Right.
So it really can help the customer get a really well irrigated lawn without overwatering. Because
right.
we know most people do overwater, right, Teresa?
They do. They really, really do. And I think the technology is important. And I'm glad you're asking people to use it because that's important. So, Gracie, where can Osceola residents and anyone interested in water conservation find out more about your programs?
Yeah, definitely visit our website, tohowater.com. We have a great conservation page with over 40 tips to help you conserve water. And we're also active on all of our social medias at Toho Water. So I definitely suggest checking us out.
What is the website link, hon?
Tohowater.com.
That's wonderful. Well, Rodney and Gracie, thank you so much for coming on today. This is very, very important. We do have water we see now, but we have to conserve it for the future. And right now, it's very important to conserve water. April is Water Conservation Month everywhere practically in the state of Florida. So thank you so much, Rodney and Gracie, for coming on today. I hope you come back. Let me know how your programs do.
Thank you, Teresa, for having us. Really appreciate
you. Thank you, Teresa.
You're welcome. Thank you, Gracie. I can't wait to meet you. Thank you so much for being on this morning.
Nice.
April is Water Conservation Month. And so your lawns and landscapes only need 1 to 1.5 inches of water a week. We have lots of people out there that are using 4 to 5 to 7 to 8 inches of water a week on their lawns, and it's just not necessary. So we appreciate Rodney and Gracie's efforts, the Toho Water Authority's efforts. It's all to protect Florida's water supply. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. We want to thank Rodney Tilley and Gracie Overstreet from the Toho Water Authority for coming on and helping us get prepared for April as Water Conservation Month. They have great, great efforts there, so we do appreciate that. So we have Susan in Tallahassee. She subscribes to Jim Putnam's Hort Tube, and he always talks about shredded hardwood bark to improve soil structure and mulch. She can't find bulk shredded bark in my area. What is similar and will improve soil? Well, Susan, I did a Google search of mulch companies in Tallahassee. And there's 3 or 4 garden centers that will deliver it. But also, too, there's a couple of mulch companies there. And you may want to ask them for fines, F-I-N-E-S. That is the shredded pine fines, and then also the bark fines. And so they will give, they probably have the resources there, and you can find it. If not, ask your garden center to bring it in. They will do that. But Google Mulch Companies Tallahassee and call them up, and there's 5 or 6 and so that are right there in that area.
So they're like pine fines. Is that what you're saying?
Pine very fines. Thin. It's very shredded.
Yes.
And it doesn't last as long as the hard bark. But I love using it because it just blends in with the soil so well.
She may be able to find it at a feed store or a feed store / box store. I don't want to use names.
Yes.
But that's where I get mine for my turkey run
yes.
area. And I also get the cedar ones that are a little bit bigger, uh-huh. The fines,
little
shreds,
chips.
Shavings, I guess you
yes,
would call
shavings,
it.
Yes, shavings, yes.
And I've been putting that around to try to help cut down on bugs. So
yeah, that's a great idea.
So yeah, check your feed stores or the box feed stores.
That's right. Okay, so that's a good resource. Thank you so much. So hopefully that helps you. It breaks down a little bit easier in the soil, but adding chips and bark to your soil, the pine fines or any kind of fines, hardwood fines, will make your soil much, much better. That's what we recommend. If you have soil compaction, if you have flooding issues, to not add more sand or more dirt, but to add organic bark. And that will help tremendously improve your soil conditions. So I'm glad you listened to Jim Putnam's Hort Tube. So that's really great. I'll let him know. I appreciate you checking in with us, Susan. 1-888-455-2967. or you can text 23680. We would love to hear from you. We want to also let you know this is the time of the year that you go ahead and take care of your indoor plants. You should check them every month, but you want to. I've got violets that I have brought inside, and they're doing just wonderful. But also, too, just check for dead leaves, and if the roots are root-bound, check. Go ahead and pull it out of the pot. Check to see how much soil is in there, because plants will wilt if there's not enough soil in the pot. It's all root-bound. It's not going to be able to hold on to moisture as long. So go ahead and check the roots. If you need to add more soil, you can cut a third of the roots off, and that will give you more room to add more soil. You can kind of fluff it up and kind of open up that root system there. Then also, too, remove all the yellow leaves and faded blooms. That adds to disease issues if you leave them on, so you want to take care of that. And then also trimming your Christmas and holiday cactuses, dividing them up if you like to do that and have more plants or give some away. Begin more frequent waterings and diluted feedings of fertilizer on a regular basis now as we approach the growing season. So as it gets warmer and you want to, you have your patio plants, go ahead and with the frequent waterings, just go ahead and give a diluted solution of fertilizer, liquid fertilizer. Then also too, move your orchids. This is the time of the year to move your orchids outdoors and hang them from your trees, hang them in your patio area, and they love the bright light. You don't want to put them in full sun, but just kind of a filtered light underneath the canopy will be good for them too as well. And then also too, let's see what we can do. Let me see what kind of flowers we can be planting. So there's so many different flowers. But I noticed at one place this week, I'm not going to name the place, but people were buying the gorgeous blue delphiniums.
Yeah, I was one of those.
Yeah, and right now, this is the end of their life cycle.
That's why they were on sale.
Yes, and so they're not going to last very long. And what I don't want to happen is that you think it's your fault that they're dying. These are annuals that should be planted in November so that they can bloom Christmas, January, February, March, and this is the end of their life cycle. So when you are in the stores and plants go on sale, ask if they're annuals or perennials. If they're perennials, the time to buy orchids is when they go on sale. If there's no blooms on the orchids, they have a rack where they just put all the leaves that are the plants that have bloomed already. Grab them. They're inexpensive. This time to do it is after Easter and after Mother's Day and after Father's Day. They will bring these plants in for the holidays. And then afterwards, the ones they don't sell, the ones where the orchids have died on them, the flowers, I mean, then they put them on for sale. That's when you buy the orchids. So go and look for them after the holidays, Mother's Day and Easter, and you'll get some good sales on plants that are blooming. And if, you know, just salvaging the plants from the dead plant rack can be really, really easy way to get cheap plants. And, you know, you can raise them from the dead. And so you just give them a little bit of water, the right proper sunlight, and a little bit of fertilizer, and they will spring right back.
There you go. Talk nice to them.
Talk nice to them. You know, that's what I used to do. I used to talk. I talked to my plants. And sometimes I yell at them. And sometimes I go, okay, you can do it. You can do it. Be supportive.
There you go.
You know, I used to work in a box store. And people would say, I'd be watching the people. And they go, oh, that plant looks terrible. Oh, did you see that one? Oh, I would never buy that. And I'd walk behind these people. I go, you're going to be just fine. Somebody's going to buy you today. Don't worry about it.
And then they're there tomorrow. And they're just like, oh, that lady.
No. I you know, so it's just you got to give them support. But plants do react to emotional care. I can promise you that.
They do.
They know when you care about them. And they know when you're ignoring them and things aren't going well. So King Charles talked to his plants and see where he is today, you know, so he is good. So we're going to be back. You want to make sure you go to the Florida Wildflower Festival next week. Come and see me talk. It's going to be a great day in DeLand. We're going to have lots of great speakers, lots of great vendors. You'll be able to buy lots of seeds for native wildflowers and native plants, mm-hmm. and you can take home native plants. It's going to be a great day. Wonderful, wonderful. And the city of DeLand is so, so pretty. It's got such wonderful restaurants in it. Just a quaint little town.
I'm excited. I actually plan on going. So after I get done here, my best friend just texts me and she's like, are you going to go to that? And I'm just like, yes. And she's like, I'll meet you there. I was like, okay, girl, got you.
It's going to be a great day. So Dana Venrick, they'll have a great talk in the morning about edibles. And so just lots of different topics that you can learn from. And we'd love to see everybody there. We want to thank Jim Putnam for coming on, Southern Living Plant Collection, and the great plants that they have there. We want to support our butterflies and pollinators. Best things you can do is plant host and nectar plants, and then stop spraying chemicals. You only want to spray a chemical if you have a bug problem. You don't do it preventatively, okay? You spray only when you find them, and then you spot treat. That's going to be the best thing to help protect butterflies and pollinators. You don't want to just kill everything.
Yeah, because you spray it, then you're automatically just killing everything. And I don't think a lot of people understand that. I didn't understand that until I really paid attention to that.
You kill the beneficial bugs as well as the bad bugs. And
yes.
So there has to be a little bit of bad bugs to get the predatory bugs to come in and take care of your problem. So be a little patient, be a little bit easy. Look for the predator bugs. Sometimes they're just look like they're ugly bugs and people go, they're ugly, they're bad. No, they're not, you know, they're
everything,
beautiful.
Everything ugly is not bad.
That's right. Okay. And so you want to do that. And please check out artandbloomgardentours.com. I'd love for you to travel with me. Get on our newsletter. It's free. And I tell you what to do each month and give you lots of great advice and my design tips. And Landscaper Malpractice is a fun newsletter to read. And Lizzie, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you to our listeners. We have the best listeners in the world. Not only do you guys text, you call, you email us. And if they have a question, what email address do they need to give?
Teresa.Watkins@live.com. My website is she-consulting.com, she-consulting.com. Thank you very much, everyone. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
If you missed any of the show, you can go catch all of it on podcasts at betterlawns.com. That's betterlawns.com.